team is afraid of expectations, but actually it's more than that. It's an impossible expectation. We all have expectations for our kids. You know, we just had Father's Day last week. We think about all the dreams and the plans of our kids. Do all of our plans, do all of our dreams for our little ones come true? That's a good one, right? Yeah, I know. Not exactly. And even our own lives, what we think and others, might even what our parents thought of us. Great expectations. Well, sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't, but that's why we need amazing grace, all of us, for our kids as well as for ourselves. It doesn't always turn out the way we like, well, we would, you know, life isn't always that great sometimes. Well, so we have the great expectations, but this is different. Great expectations is one thing. This is impossible, absolutely impossible. So we got Nebuchadnezzar had this horrible dream. Have you ever had a dream where it just won't leave you? It's just, oh, don't you hate that? It's like, oh, just try to shake it off and go on with life, and it's just there. It's just gnawing at you. It's like, you try to tell yourself, it's just a dream. It didn't really happen, but deep down, we feel and we act like it did happen, right? Well, Nebuchadnezzar had that type of experience, and so he's the king, so what he wants, he gets, and he wants to get rid of this thought, get rid of this idea, and he wants help right now. And he wants it a certain way, and he wants all the wise guys, the wise men, to help him out right here and right now. So he has this dream. He was very troubled. He couldn't sleep. And if the king can't sleep and the king's not happy, no one's happy, right? The kingdom is not going to be good. There's no democracy here. So it says the king summoned the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants a dream, and we'll interpret it. The king replied to the astrologers, not so fast, my friend. That doesn't say that in the text. Basically, not so fast. This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your house turned into piles of rubble. Ooh, I'd just like to hear that from your boss. But he's thinking, well, if they could not really know what interpretation, and so they could just make something up. So he says, well, if they know what my dream is, chances are they know how to interpret it. An impossible, totally impossible situation. Humanly impossible, right? I mean, come on, guy. You know, but he has not been sleeping good, and he's not happy. So here we go. We see all these wise men. You think about the wise men that came to worship Jesus. They may have come from this same area. So you get all these wise men say, hey, you know, this isn't fair. Life's not fair. It isn't fair, right? But it says, once more they replied, let the king tell the servants the dream and we'll interpret it. Then the king answered, I am certain you're trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I firmly decided. Okay, here we go. If you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So they've been incompetent in some areas, apparently. So he doesn't trust them. So then tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me. So, okay, you tell me what the dream is, and then maybe I'll listen to your interpretation. The astrologers answer the king, there's not a man on earth that can do what the king asks. There's an impossible situation there, right? No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of a magician or enchanter or astrologer. Nobody's ever asked that before. Why are you asking that now? What's the deal? Come on. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods. And notice this. And they do not live among men. Well, maybe your gods don't, but ours does, right? He is Emmanuel, God with us. So we do have a God that interacts with us as part of our day-to-day life. And you'll see that later on in the book of Daniel. So he is most certainly here. This is most certainly true as we hear of the catechism, right? Read it. So, oh yes, we have a God who is among us. But their God's distant, can't help them in this situation. He's no good. Well, he's not a real God, right? Obviously. So it ain't going to work. Now for us, have you ever been in situations, maybe in a job, where you have an impossible boss, impossible to please, right? And what they're asking you to do, you can't do it. I know for me, as a social worker, they've decided, and I've talked to Sandy at length about this, but because her son is the chairman of the board, a touchstone. So I got the ear to the king there. But anyway, what they're doing is they're going to a corporate mentality for a nonprofit social service organization. So instead of whether how much time I spend with people, it's how much money am I bringing in the touchstone by my conversations and my work with people. So, for instance, if I do a telephone call, that doesn't count as much, and maybe one-tenth as much as I go see them in their home. But if it's 120 degrees out and they go, well, I really don't want to visit with you, can we just do it by phone? So, see, that's not as much money we bring in that way. So everything's bottom line, how much money I bring in. And everything's discounted, customer service and everything else discounted. So we had our little survey, the monkey survey. I just finished it Friday, and I said, okay, here's my idea, or this is my thought, is that we've discounted customer service. We're just saying, well, just bring in the dollars, bring in the money, bring in the programs, and right. And it's hurting us because we're having people come and go, and they have different case manager every couple months. And I get to hear about that. So that's an impossible situation. Or if people no-show and they don't contact me, there's nothing I can do about it. But I'm supposed to bring it in, and I hate this when a boss just make it happen. It doesn't happen that way. My daughter-in-law, her dad works for a charter bus company. He fixes the buses that break down, the charter, those huge aero buses, right? He's a chief mechanic. And sometimes he'll have a bus break down, and he doesn't have the parts, and his boss will get mad and says, just fix it anyway. Well, how are you supposed to fix that big bus without the parts? Just, voila, here it is, right? So we all have those situations, but there's something sometime, huh? Yeah, right. I'm telling you, this is what our church said to do. Problem solved, yeah? And the other guy's problem. Well, there's an idea. Yeah. That's right. We got to be creative. But sometimes it gets ridiculous, right? What people want you to do, you can't do it. And they don't want to hear that, right? No can do. Well, you make it. Just do it. This is not a tennis shoe commercial, you know? Just do it. Anyway, or maybe it's not at work. Maybe it's at school. Sometimes a teacher just doesn't have a good personality and just has a thing against a couple kids. I've got some kids that I'm working with where the teacher is just on them all the time. And sometimes you can't really believe the kids, but we've been there, and it's true. And just we tell the kids, well, you're going to have bosses down the road. You're going to have people in your life. It's not going to be easy to work with, and it's not fair. Or maybe you have relatives, in-laws or outlaws, where no matter what you do, you get together, you all try to get along, and it just doesn't happen that way. Someone says the wrong thing the wrong way at the wrong time, and oh boy, there goes the wonderful get-together, right? And you think, oh, maybe just stay home next time, right? Yeah, exactly right. So we all have impossible situations where the expectations are unrealistic. And I was just talking to Shannon about something about me with back home. And I thank you, Shannon, for your help and for your, Paula, too, and Donna. That's okay, you know. Maybe somebody else's expectation of this, they're not me and I'm not them. And the same with other people, too. Maybe I think, well, what's their problem? It should be easy. I can do that. Well, I'm not them. We're all wired differently. Some things I can do, they're no problem. Other things are very difficult for me. Like my TV, my phone, anything technological. Like my son says, what's your problem, Dad? All you do is do this, here. I go, really? Easy for you to say, right? Like, what? So the point of all this is when we have impossible situations, what can we see in this word for today that can help us? Because we all either have had them or will have them. Where the situation is just impossible, and it's not fair what happened to us. How did Daniel deal with this? Well, the wise men there, they were just said, this is not fair, we can't do it. But we don't hear Daniel saying, I can't do it. He does later talk about the fact that it's kind of crazy, but we'll get to that. But anyway, no one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they don't live among men, but Daniel's God does. Verse 12, this made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So here they're not even going to get a chance to tell the dream and interpret the dream. So that's it. Just forget it. Instead of saying, you're fired, you're terminated. Not just your job. You are terminated. Hit, kaput, goodbye. And so the word goes out that it's over. His whole cabinet's going to get executed of all his wise advisors. Uh-oh. So that decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. So here we go. Daniel's not part of this. He's just sitting at home worshiping, praising God, serving God, being a good guy, a faithful man of God, right? Doing what God wants him to do. And this is not fair because he's got people coming to his door. He doesn't know it. They're going to kill him. Out of the blue. Like, what? That's the situation. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, notice this. Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. Well, there's something to be said about that, right? God's wisdom and knowing how to say it. It's not just what to say, it's how to say it, and not just that, but when to say it. Sometimes you get the right thing said in the right way, but the wrong time. This is not the time, Perry. Don't talk about that right now. This is not the time. Timing's everything, right? Or we're going to be the right time in the wrong way. Say, well, this is the way I am. I just say what I think, and if you don't like, too bad. That's not Christ-like, right? We're supposed to be considerate of others and put them above ourselves, not just say, this is the way I am. You don't like it, too bad. There is a place for being bold, for sure. But there's also a place for having a little tact and common sense and know how to approach people with some diplomacy. So Daniel's going, okay, let's see, well, let's speak with tact and wisdom. What's wisdom? Knowledge is knowing the right, knowing a bunch of stuff, right? Yeah, wisdom is knowing how to do something with Proverbs. We're going through the book of Proverbs. It's the right way to apply it with the Holy Spirit, and He is wisdom personified. But notice Daniel's calm to have tact. You're like, oh, I'm going to be the message here for all of us. He was calm. He was composed. He's just saying, okay, I'm going to talk to the king here. I'm just going to have tact, wisdom and tact. We're going to talk this out. And one thing that Ricky mentioned last night is that also, you know, Daniel wanted to get the truth in the horse's mouth, right? Because you can hear things. Oh, did you hear what they're going to fire a bunch of people at work? And oh, period. Oh, they're going to have this big meeting. And I've had that so many times with company gossip, right? And it wasn't even true. You get all worked up. And it wasn't even the case. So Daniel goes to them, goes to the leaders, to find out what's going on. So he speaks with wisdom and tact to the commander of the king's guard. So he wants to get it right, get the truth. And he asks the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? And I'm sure he said it with tact. And I go, why did he do that? And he goes, just kind of wondering, what was going on in his life? Why would you do this right now? Why would you issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time that he might interpret the dream for him. So he doesn't say, I can't do it. He goes to the king, which is scary, and says, can I have a little more time? Sometimes we need time to think through things, right? We'll just talk about that, Shannon. Thank you. It's boomerang. It's coming right back at me here. We need time to process things. And maybe somebody else's timetable says, well, it's my time, it's good for me. Well, you're not me. Maybe it's good time for you, it's not the right time for me. So timing is everything here, and Daniel says, can we just have some more time, you know, and hoping the king would calm down a little bit and would think through things, and sometimes things look a lot better the next morning than they do in the middle of the night, fighting and arguing and not getting sleep and I used to try to argue with my teenage daughter when she was all worked up. And she was right about it. She said, Dad, don't talk to me right now. No, Dad knew better. I know we're going to work this through right now. And you listen to me. You sit down, young lady. How does that work? I learned later, not too well. So let her have her space. And then it was almost always better when we talked later. Not wait forever. Because then kids will want to say, well, can we put that off? You got to deal with it, but at the right time. So Daniel asked for time. So Daniel's an amazing man. You know, he really is. He's kept his composure. He has kept his faith in God. He's not freaking out. He's just saying, okay, I need time. And he speaks with wisdom and tact. And then you'll get to the rest of the good stuff next week of how he handles all of this and what does he do, and it's amazing, but that's next week. That's not today. But notice the wisdom attack thing. The Bible talks about in James, it talks about that there is this little instrument, this little part of our bodies that can do a whole lot of damage, and it's very small, and it's the tongue. That's this tongue right here. Can get us into a lot of trouble, right? Where we say things without thinking, and you want to, like, just take those words, like in a comic strip, just take them out of the air and bring them back. I think I mentioned one time that somebody at work had emailed a friend, kind of a nasty thing to say, except they didn't email it the friend, they emailed their boss and other bosses this thing. And they went to, ran to IT. They went screaming to IT, says, "You got to help me. You got to retrieve this email. You got to erase this email before the bosses see it." Because they were in a meeting at the time, so this person knew they had some time to kind of get that erased. And I don't know the rest of the story if they got it. I don't think they did, but somehow it got worked out. But sometimes we were that way. We say things, right? It's like, "Oh no, I can't believe I said that." And they did that. And the Bible talks about in James that the tongue is a wicked instrument, and how hard we can tame animals. We go to the circus and the zoo, we see animals being tamed, but nobody can tame the tongue. And it talks about how it can start a forest fire. It's like a little spark can start a forest fire. Well, and like Smokey Bear says, only you can prevent forest fires. Well, we can prevent forest fires of relational problems by watching what we say and thinking before we talk, which is sometimes hard to do. We get all emotional. You get all frustrated, don't have enough sleep, and it's hot, 120 degrees outside, right? And just out of it with the traffic. Sometimes you have the favor of God on you. Other people get jealous about that, right? Well, how come this person? How come you got the car that has air conditioning works and yours doesn't? Or how come this? Or how come that? That's not fair. How come I don't? And sometimes people don't rejoice with other people. They get jealous, and they think about themselves instead of rejoicing that the other person has this blessing in building them up. So, anyway, Daniel is an amazing man because you think about Joseph in the Old Testament. I think Daniel probably read a lot about Joseph's life because the similarity. Joseph had dreams, right? Remember, of his brothers. Daniel has dreams, or interpretation of dreams, and has dreams later on. But Joseph was mistreated. Daniel was mistreated. Later on, we're going to see that Joseph and Daniel were promoted and demoted, and it wasn't fair, but that God raised both of them up. And neither one of them complains one time in the Bible. You got Moses complaining, you got David complaining. You don't see Joseph or Daniel ever complaining about all this anywhere. Wow, that's hard to do, right? When the heat's on, whether it be the physical heat or the pressure of our lives, when the heat's on, it really tests our mettle, doesn't it? Constantly. God's got it. He's got the whole world in his hands. Daniel's world, our world, and that's the key until you get to next week, because then there's really good stuff next week, but you've got to come back for the rest of the story. Okay? This is part one. To be continued, yes. All right. Well, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the example of Daniel. And Lord, give us more faith. Give us more calm and peace and trust in you, Lord. We are weak. We're made of clay. Sometimes we falter, sometimes we fail, but you never falter or fail. So we depend on you for your strength. You're our rock. We aren't. You're the anchor. We aren't. And so we look to you for strength. Come and fill me. Come and fill us, Holy Spirit. Fill us, Lord, your mercy and your love. Fill our senses. Fill everything about us with your love. Help us to have such a connection with you, God, that nothing can shake our faith, and that we can be ready to do the impossible for you. That you tell us, Lord, in your word through Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that nothing is impossible with God. With man, it may be impossible, but nothing is impossible for those who believe. Lord, give us more faith. We thank you for the example of Daniel. Forgive us for the many times when maybe we speak without thinking and say things that are hurtful and damage others. We ask for your healing presence upon our tongues and our minds to think right thoughts and say the right words that lift people up and not tear them down. Lord, in your mercy, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.